to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And welcome back, everybody, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, Saturday evening, July 14th. And you're listening to the Political Cesspool radio program as we come to you live from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AMFM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Got one more hour for you tonight before it's all said and done. Great show tonight so far, as I think they all are. Of course, I'm a little bit biased. Keith Alexander, great performance turned in at the beginning of the show. You heard from Richard Spencer there in the latter half of the second hour as we discussed the majority strategy. Go to our website and read about the majority strategy at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now here, you know, we mentioned, of course, we've been talking about it quite a bit tonight, that we're all back in Memphis after a wonderful weekend spent last Friday and Saturday at the 2012 Council of Conservative Citizens Conference, sharing the company of so many fine men and women, inspired us. And I want to pass along that feeling to you now for those of you who couldn't be there with us in Nashville. Of course, if you listen to it in the broadcast archives, you heard all those people cheering and laughing, and the energy was palpable. You know, one thing that distresses me is that we don't really have heroes anymore. The nation that produced men like Andrew Jackson, Davy Crockett, and Robert E. Lee, it seems as though that those genes went dormant generations ago. Until those genes are reanimated, we must draw inspiration from whatever source we can. Now, that being said, I'm going to play two clips here during this first hour, this first segment. One is something that is fiction. One is something that is nonfiction. One is inspirational, one is incredibly stupid. We're going to play the inspirational fiction one first. Now, I'm not big into the fantasy genre, but the Lord of the Rings films are absolutely phenomenal. I'd certainly put them on par with movies like Braveheart and Gods and Generals. So listen to the speech at the Black Gates here from Lord of the Rings. Then we're going to play something that actually occurred in real life. Let's hit clip number one.
I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship. But it is not this day. An hour of wolves and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight. By all that you hold dear on this good earth, I bid you stand, men of the West!
All right, that was the classic speech there in front of the Black Gates where the remaining human remnants in the Lord of the Rings film go and they're fighting the orcs and they're fighting the Uruk-hai. We actually talked about this briefly in last week's show. So stand, men of the West. That's the last words that Aragorn gives to his people. Stand, men of the West, before they go and face an almost certain death. All right, that was, of course, a work of fiction. Let's now go to flash forward to real life in multicultural America. Now, we have a black congressman by the name of Hank Johnson. He represents Georgia. He was videotaped speaking with an admiral over his concerns that if too many people on the island of Guam went and stood on one side of the island, that the island might tip over and capsize. Now, this sort of idiocy is on par with that story that ABC News ran telling us that the soil is racist. But though we have this video for you at our website, we're also going to play it here now. Black United States congressman worried that Guam might tip over and capsize because too many people live on one end of the island. Let's play it right now. And keep in mind, this is one of our country's leaders.
No, this is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
And also things like the environment, the sensitive areas of the environment, coral reefs and those kinds of things, and I know that, you know, lots of people don't like to think about that, but, you know, we didn't think about global warming either. And now we do have to think about it. And so I'm concerned from an environmental standpoint whether or not Guam is the best place to do this relocation, but it's actually the only place. Is that correct?
This is the best place. This is the farthest west U.S. territory that we own. And, you know, this is part of our nation. And in readdressing the forward presence and posture importance to Pacific Command, Guam is vital to this decision.
All right, folks. All right, so compare and contrast fiction versus nonfiction, inspiration versus the reality of the America that we currently found ourselves living in. So there, I got the segment started off by playing, you know, an inspirational speech from a true leader. Unfortunately, we have to draw inspiration now from fantasy movies because God knows we can't find it in real life. So we fast forward to could you call him a leader? A real leader of America, this congressman, you would think that your political representatives are leaders, at least in some capacity. Not that they're better than us, but that they represent us in a leadership capacity. How did that admiral not laugh? How could he listen to that utter stupidity without breaking out in hysterical laughter? How did he have the ability to treat that man seriously? We got to take a break, but we'll answer that question when we come back.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. We got Eddie the Bombardier Miller here with us. We have Eddie the Bombardier Miller here for a very special reason. We're going to get to that reason in just a moment. But first, Eddie was sitting in studio with me as I was going through that last segment there. So you got this congressman who's going to continue to be reelected time and time again, because if you research the district from which Hank Johnson hails, the district he represents, it was gerrymandered and carved out unnaturally to form this district in Georgia that's only, primarily made up of black people. And they're going to keep electing this guy. You know, how did this guy even graduate college? How did this guy even... You know, how can he even graduate college, much less rise to be one of the 300 most powerful men in the world? And so there you have it. And so he's asking this admiral if the admiral, this is what they're doing during this hearing, during this inquisition. He's asking the admiral if the admiral is afraid that the U.S. territory of Guam will sink because too many people are on one side, if it'll cause the island to tip over and capsize into the ocean because too many people are living on one end of the island. So, Eddie, I know you are a military man yourself, so you got a little bit of understanding, even though you were Army, you have a little bit of understanding of what it takes to become an admiral. And you were just watching in utter, awe that an admiral could sit there and be subjected to something that ignorant.
James, like I told you a minute ago, tell the audience, I thought it was a spoof. I thought you were just pulling my leg. I had no idea anyone could be that stupid, even a congressman. But I think if that had been the admiral, I think I'd have said something like, well, we're right on that, congressman. Matter of fact, we've got these giant ships heading over there with styrofoam, and we're going to put, styrofoam on one end of the island to kind of float it in case it sinks. I mean, I really and truly, do you know what it takes to be an admiral? I mean, now, granted, like I was telling James, to go from up to 06, officer, to get up to a full colonel in the Army, which is equivalent to a captain in the Navy, you have to be a smart cookie. The competition in the military is just cutthroat. This admiral's probably I'm sure he's been through Annapolis, which is the military academy. It's very competitive to get in. He's white, so he had to have 3.8 to even be consider to get in. By the time you get to be a full colonel in the Army, most of them have a doctorate, postdoctorate degrees. They have PhDs and everything you can imagine. They're very brilliant. I don't know why they stay in the military. And this guy is probably an IQ of 140, 50, having to be, you know, subjected to that just raw stupidity. You know, I mean, how undignified. And it's, I mean, it's like having to be sat there and be grilled by somebody making you take writing lessons from an ape or something. I mean, and the guy, and I have to salute this Admiral James, how he kept a straight face, how he kept from laughing in this congressman's face. It's a miracle. I mean, I don't understand that, man. It amazes me. But that's typical, you know, and if when you don't have the stupidity like that, you have the stupidity combined with this, the incredible corruption. I mean, there it's so corrupt there. And that's a prime example. We need to put that on the cesspool every night. We really do.
That really paints the picture of a lot of that we talk about here on the show. But you know, and that actually occurred in 2010, so it's old news, but I revisited it because of the ABC Soil is Racist. You know, blacks don't like to go to national parks because they had to work as slaves at one point in the history of their people, and so therefore the ground makes them have nightmares and things, you know, dirt and soil and plants. And so, you know, we were talking about that again, and so I just said, well, if you think that's dumb, wait, you ain't seen nothing yet. But anyway, quick story, and then we got to get to what we brought Eddie on to talk about tonight.
You know, something to go along with that, I was just telling James, we have this young black in our church. He's about 27, 28 years old, and I don't know how this happens, but if there's a black anywhere around, they are attracted to me, literally. They're like attracted to me like a magnet. I don't know why, but they always have. All my life, they have been. Well, three times, on at least three, maybe four occasions over the past year, he's, you know, bad-mouthing me, moaning and groaning why he has it so hard because he's black and he has it so tough. He told me that, you know, he said, we used to be slaves. This is a guy's 27, 28 years old saying he used to be a slave. Well, you know, I've been letting this go by, James. And he told me about a week or 2 weeks ago, I walked up on a conversation I wasn't supposed to hear. We only have about three blacks in our church, three or four at the most. And he was talking to this other black to get sympathy, telling about how, you know, the whites try to hold the black mane down. And, you know, they wouldn't let him have this promotion because he's black. He knows he is. Well, I was telling James, I already had my little story primed. I'm going to be really nice and polite. I'm going to say Travis, because, you know, he idolizes Papa here. Why, I don't know. But I'm going to say, Travis, I don't know, son, but have you looked around in this church? Have you noticed that we have about a 99% white congregation here at our church? And, you know, your kids, I happen to know, your kids go to this school tuition free. My grandson goes there, costs thousands of dollars. My daughter works two jobs. You know, the church bends over backwards to do everything for you. You get to take free food home. They just really bend over backwards for you. And you're trying to tell me you didn't get this promotional job because you're black. I don't think so. And I'm going to proceed to tell him, you know what? I'm going to act like I'm agreeing with him, James. I'm going to say, you know what? There was this kid one time. He lived in a pretty white neighborhood. And then by the time he got to be about 11 years old, the neighborhood just overnight, like a story Keith told us, Keith's telling us about a black neighborhood, went all black in six weeks. Well, the same thing happened to this kid when he was about 11 years old. He has to take a different route to school and a different route from school every day to keep from getting killed, literally, ganged up on by grown people, all because just the color of his skin, bless his heart, he was so discriminated against. He had to sleep with a .38 under his pillow. He slept with a .16 shotgun in his bed. He couldn't get out on the porch at night. They tried to kill him. I mean, the kid's only 11 years old. And you know who the kid was, Travis? The kid was me. And they tried to kill me because I was black. So don't come crying to me. Tell me all this. Oh, excuse me, because I'm white. Yeah, Judge. Because I'm I'm like, what's his name in the jerk, Steve Martin, with the all-black family. But they tried to kill me because I'm white. So quit crying and mealy-mouthing to me about you have it so hard because you got it better than anybody I know in this church. You know, you have a minimum wage job. You drive a new SUV. I mean, the same thing with the only where our token Mexican we have in the church. Same thing. They just make over. It makes me sick, James. But anyway, I'm loaded for bear on that thing. But don't you get sick of this stupidity?
Well, yeah. I mean, you get sick. I mean, anybody that – we always ask the rhetorical question. We've heard the grievances, where is the gratitude? Now, you're nice to this guy. You're cordial to him. He's nice to you. But he still bickers over slavery. He's 28 years old. He's going to a $10,000 a year private school for free simply because he is black. I mean, why don't they give him a free ride at Macon Road when everybody else, including your grandson, has to pay through the nose? Why?
They had just because he's black. He's a token black. And, you know, even our pastor, God, no, I mean, he brought me to Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, and I love the guy, but we disagree on a lot of things, and this is one of them. My wife can tell you, my wife doesn't even go there anymore because, I mean, if the black happens to come into church, the pastor, he will walk over you to get to a black. He just he's attracted to them like this guy's attracted to me. He just can't get enough of them. It's something in the genes. And there's a guy that I'm telling you about, my pastor, he's supposed to be a poor old guy. He's older than me, and he went to East High School here in Memphis over off of Poplar Avenue. And I'm telling you, people, East High School back in the day was equivalent. It's like going to Beverly. What was that school in Beverly Hills? Beverly Hills 90210, whatever it was. I mean, East High School is where Sybil Shepherd went. It's where all the rich doctors and lawyers' kids went. Me and Keith talked about that. But he claims to be, you know, he had the pastor that he came up rough and streetwise. He has no clue. The guy would have probably committed suicide within 6 weeks if he grew up where I grew up.
Well, we got to take a break with that, folks. Again. We've had Eddie on for a full segment now, and we haven't even begun to talk about what we brought him on for, and that's about how we do business here in the cesspool. But stay tuned. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is on a crusade, and we're going to tell you what he's fighting for right after this. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs, and there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, lighthouseliterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices.
For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. All right, everybody. Welcome back. We mentioned this last week during the live broadcast from the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference in Nashville. But I want to give you the full story now. That was such a fast-paced show, such a raucous broadcast that we really didn't have the time to settle down and talk about this to the extent that we should. And a little background about Edith Bombardier Miller first. He's been co-hosting with me off and on this show since 2006. But the Bombardier, Eddie Miller, was born in Clark County, Kentucky, April 6, 1947, like most of the staff of the political cesspool. He has ancestors who fought for the Confederacy, of whom he is very proud. After moving to Tennessee in 1952, Eddie followed in the footsteps of his Confederate forebears when he was drafted into the Army in 1969. He served 2 years active duty as a combat medic and 4 years as a specialist. After his Vietnam experience, Eddie became a registered nurse and has been practicing his craft ever since. Now, you know, you've heard Eddie for years and years on this show, so you know who he is, but there's a little bit of background information. In addition to being host of radio show, we all have lives outside of this, obviously, and this is a little bit of background on the life of Eddie Miller. Now, his recent passion, as we brought to your attention last week, has been volunteering to help the patients of the world-famous St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which is a pediatric treatment and research facility focused on children's catastrophic diseases, and it's located right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Despite being 65 years old, Eddie will be 66 next April. He has been training for over a year to run in the 26 miles, St. Jude Marathon on December 1st. Now, Eddie has to raise $500 on behalf of St. Jude to even be able to run in this marathon. And if you would like to help sponsor Eddie's run on behalf of the kids of St. Jude, please read the appeal that we have for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. And be sure to watch the video that Eddie and I put together a couple of days ago for our radio family. Now, I am proud to say, after that video being up for less than a day, the Political Cesspool team came in and got Eddie over the $500 mark. This is a passion that Eddie has taken on. He's a valued member of our staff, and as such, I wanted to do my part to help support him. I made a modest contribution to support Eddie's run there in that marathon, and he has reached his overall goal of $500 to benefit the work of St. Jude. And our listeners are responsible for putting Eddie over the mark. So, Eddie, I know you wanted to be sure to come on the show tonight and say a few words to the listeners for helping you get into this marathon. You've been training for a year, again, a year, to run 26 miles at 65 years of age because you feel so strongly about helping the kids who are suffering through cancer, cystic fibrosis, on and on. Our listeners are going to make sure you're in that marathon on December 1st. In fact, it's already happened.
It certainly has. Matter of fact, just as a byline here, I did 20.8 miles today, and I didn't set the world on fire. I think I did it in 4 hours and 40 minutes. That's not too shabby for someone, I guess, my age. I'll be almost 66 when I run it in December, James, because my birthday is in April. And, so as long as I get that finish line, I'm good. But I don't care about my time. But before I go on any further, I want to tell you people what it means to me, all you wonderful people out there. I'll tell you how much it affects me. Until about 3 years ago, I wasn't that emotional. But the first donation I got, I cried. It was a $25 donation, just like the lady in the Bible who she gives 2 or 3 pence, and the rich people were given all kinds of money, and Jesus said that money was greater to her than the money that the rich guys gave. Well, listen, no contribution is too small. I don't care if you send in a dollar. I get just as excited as I do if it's $200. But give you a little background how I got into this. As James said, I've been an RN for quite some time. And listen, I've been around death all my life. I've seen more than my share of death. You know, I'm sure more death than most people have. And you never get used to it, James. I never get used to it. You think you might, but you don't. And I started seeing these kids. The way I got with the kids, I started out in a trauma center here in Memphis. But I started working with cystic fibrosis kids here at a university hospital here in Memphis. And the cystic fibrosis kids never live very long. And there was, I get attached to them. I really do. You know that, James, how I get attached to people. There were several of them there I got extremely attached to. And when they died, it just upset me to no end. And I found that I was at church one day, and this my pastor talked about this kid down here at the Ronald McDonald House who was a patient at St. Jude. One particular patient that died on me at Methodist here in Memphis, I was on vacation, and when I was on vacation, James, they had taken him in ICU, and his dad told me that the last humans being on the face of the earth that he asked for was not his mother, was not his dad, it was her papaw. And it took me over a year before I could talk about that without crying. But that's how I really got into this stuff for the kids. Some people from church ran the St. Jude Marathon last year. And when Brother Wayne mentioned this kid down at St. Jude, I'm not going to tell you who he was, but who he is, but he recently died. He knew he was dying. I knew he was dying. Everybody did. It's really, I tell you what, people, it's really hard on you emotionally. But when my pastor talked about this kid, I said, I'm not going to be cheated out of working with this child. I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to work with him. I'm going to befriend him. I'm going to try to witness to him, do whatever I can for him and the family. And they did more for me than I did for them. But I got to see him. I got cheated out of seeing the kid that died at Methodist. I was more attached to him than any patient I've ever been attached to. I used to, on my days off, I'd take him pizza. I'd take him calzone. I'd go play poker with a little sucker. He would clean me out every time. The guy was a card shark. I loved him to death. I mean, the guy was really good. That's all he did was play poker. But people, I'll tell you about a little bit of something about St. Jude. To be perfectly honest, I don't know how long it's been here, but it's been here since I was about a kid. Danny Thomas was the one who was responsible, an immigrant from, I believe, from Lebanon. He was a Lebanese Christian, came over here, and he, you know, he had a lot of connections with the rich movers and shakers in Hollywood. And they put this St. Jude Hospital together, and it has grown. It has grown. Well, you know how huge it is, James. It's St. Jude is really big now, and it's really big in Memphis. We have some big supporters. We have Federal Express. They support it. We have McDonald's supports the place. We have Target. They have Target House, Ronald McDonald House. And we were talking about racism a minute ago, James, and a lot of black people talking about racism. Let me tell you what, and I've told other black people about this. I go to St. Jude. I know what's out there. And there's just as many black kids out there as there is white. We have Arabs, we have Muslims, we have atheists, we have blacks, we have Mexicans, Arabs, Indians, you name it. If you're a kid and you're sick, we don't care who you are, what your religion is. If you're coming in there and you're suffering, you know, you get a five-year-old kid, he didn't know if he's a Muslim. I mean, how many five-year-old kids, three-year-old kids know if they're a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jew or what the heck they are? They don't. We're going to treat all those kids the same. And St. Jude is always, they're famous for that. If you're sick and, you know, the kids are sick and you come in the hospital, listen, it doesn't cost you a nickel. That's what the hospital was designed to do. And I'll tell you what, there's no place in the world that does better research on childhood catastrophic diseases than St. Jude. They're world famous for it. And they give absolute cutting edge medical care. We have kids come from all over the world. I'm identifying with them, but they come from all over the world. And I don't know how much time we left before we get to the next break, but James, if we want to, we might want to call out some of these donors' names. I don't know if you want to do that.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, you were talking about this hospital, and just to be clear, this is a hospital unlike most others in so much as it's a children's hospital. And it's privately funded. It's not run at government. The government doesn't oversee it. It's not run at taxpayer expense. This hospital is completely subsidized by donations made by corporations or even individuals. And as you know, they're doing this marathon, the St. Jude's Marathon. Eddie's running in it, and the people who donate to St. Jude under Eddie's name are helping to provide care for these
children. And so Eddie had the modest goal of $500. We have reached the $500, but Eddie can still take more in. So this is something that has become very important to Eddie. And you can go there. If you go to our website tonight and you read the blog entry entitled Political Cesspool Co-host Eddie Miller is Training for the St. Jude Marathon, there you can click over to the St. Jude website. Eddie has a page there, and you can donate to St. Jude on behalf of Eddie Miller, and you will be sponsoring Eddie's 26-mile run at 65 years of age on behalf of these kids. Now, keep in mind that in this case, this contribution is not a contribution to our work on the radio, but a special one-time donation in support of Eddie's noble cause. But and we'll get in one second, Ed, and we'll get into that. But this is something, folks, that you know, we have political beliefs that we're going to take to the grave, and we're going to continue to fight for those, and we will never apologize for those. But and those, I think, are consistent with the work Eddie's doing here. But somebody wrote a comment on the blog today that couldn't have been better if I wrote it myself. And we're going to get to that right after these commercial break, and then we're going to wrap up the show. So stay tuned, everybody, and be sure to go to our website tonight and support Eddie's crusade on behalf of the children, Eddie's passion. We'll be back. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. There's a better.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, we have political cesspool correspondent Peter Stanton on the line, and we're going to get to him in just a moment. But quickly to wrap up what we were talking about in the previous segment, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, our co-host here, training for the St. Jude Marathon. Eddie came over to the house a couple of days ago, my house, and we filmed a short video that we also have posted for you tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We also put it to our YouTube channel. But anyway, you know, we have political beliefs that we will never apologize for, that we will always fight to our dying breath to advance. And that's what we're known for. And again, we believe that that is consistent with the work that Eddie's doing here even. But somebody, a fan of the show, left a comment on our website today that I couldn't have topped if I'd written it myself. And here's what he said. Once again, the political cesspool crew shows who they really are versus the ridiculous picture that is painted of them by the media. Because these guys are authentic conservatives, the media, along with the SPLC, ADL, etc., accuses them of being racist and white supremacists. I guess your typical racist runs 26 miles in a marathon to benefit pediatric victims of all ethnic groups. When's the last time one of the political cesspools detractors did something like this instead of writing nothing but pure hatred directed at those with whom they disagree? Stuff like this makes it easier to support the political cesspool because it gives you a window into their lives outside of the radio. So that comes in from one of our folks, Eddie. And I know you wanted to say something quickly about, once again, about the fans of this show before we go on to Scoop Stand.
Yes, I do. I would just like to point out that the fans of the show, James Edwards, Sam Bushman, all of our listeners, you know, we're all pretty much of a like mind. And if you want to look and see who's supporting the kids out here, you know, when you go out to a hospital, any hospital, especially for children like this, you know, we have Lobato here in Memphis, but I'm running for St. Jude. We kind of, in a way, we lay our swords down. And I mean, you can't, how can you politicize a child that has cancer, who's dying? It's like trying to politicize a funeral. And I'm amazed at how some groups will do that, and they will never give you credit for anything. I mean, I'm really in debt to the cesspool, even though I'm a co-host. I'm in debt to James Evers. James is not getting a penny out of this, people. I'm telling you, the cesspool doesn't. If you could see our budget with the cesspool, you would laugh if you see just how small our budget is. And I'm going to repeat. Liberty News Radio, the political cesspool, nobody is getting a penny out of this money. And anytime you send the donation in, you can go in and you can pull up and you can see where your donation is listed on my website with St. Jude. It'll tell your name there. It'll say, Joe Blow contributed $20. You can track the money, you know, you can track it all the way. And you can see the cesspool does not get a dime out of it. We're doing it because we really, truly love people. And like James said, part of our political beliefs, part of being a paleo conservative Christians, you know, this is what Christians do. Christians love kids. That's part of being a Christian. So, you know, if these people want to keep hammering us, let them put their money where their mouth is. Let's say, I'll tell you what, I think Abe Foxman, he could send in $100,000 without even missing it. The guy down at SPLC, they're worth, what, $400 million, James? They could send in $500,000 in my name, and then they wouldn't bat an eye. Hey, you know, I'd plug the SPLC if they would help St. Jude, but they're not going to do it because they hate us.
Well, there you have it, and they're, you know, we have no money, they have it all, and we're still doing trying to do our part. And again, not to politicize it, it's all about the kids, but I wanted to bring it up on this show because I wanted the people to know about it, and this is the easiest way we have to reach people. We have a big audience, so we're asking the audience to help. And if you want to help Eddie, all you got to do is go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and click on the entry talking about Eddie's crusade, and it will redirect you right over to the St. Jude website where you can donate to sponsor Eddie's run in this marathon. That being said, Eddie, you is so inspired our friend and correspondent Peter Scoop Stanton that he sent me a message today saying that instead of driving, he walked around the corner to the 7-Eleven to get a six-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon Tall Boys. And so he's following in your footsteps already.
Good taste.
He's got good taste, he says. All right, Peter Scoop Stanton, how you doing, my friend?
Good. How about you, James and Eddie?
Well, I'm just, Eddie exhausts me talking about, you know, running 20.8 miles today. And as he continues his training, I get my exercise just thinking about Eddie's.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I get mine going to the 7-Eleven and picking up some past call boys.
We all do what we can.
Yep. But, first I like to say, good evening, James and Bombardier and Cesspool family. This weekend is a happy anniversary to myself. 5 years ago this weekend, yours truly went to the WLR studios in Millington to do my first live broadcast from the studios. And in the studio was none other than you, Mr. Edwards, and the Bombardier. And as I walked in, I had to use the restroom very urgently. And during the live broadcast, James, you mentioned Bob and Derek, that's either Pete Stanton or an intruder. And Eddie, I hope you have your Ruger. And I was, while I was using the restroom, I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to get shot by the bombardier. But luckily, Mr. Miller knocked first before he, or asked questions first before he started shooting. but then the next day, actually, it was during the broadcast, Jeff Melton invited everybody out to Range USA for a Ron Paul rally. And that's where I first got the win of Dr. Paul. Then at the rally, it was myself, you, James, the Bombardier, Mrs. Edwards, Winston Smith, and Jeff Melton family. And that's when I, Eddie just went off about on somebody concerning bringing diversity to the Ron Paul campaign. Winston Smith and myself were passing off like a fifth grader.
Well, it wasn't so much about diversity. It was the fact that they were set to have a Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty rally at Nathan Bedford Forest Park, and one person said that that wouldn't be a good idea because it might offend the mythical black people that were not in the room that might support Ron Paul if they weren't all going to vote Democratic anyway. And so that's what Eddie got upset about, is that everybody had agreed and thought it would be a good idea to hold this Ron Paul rally at Forest Park, and the one person there, this one white, you know, liberal in the room said, you know, we might keep blacks from joining Ron Paul's campaign, and of course that was never going to happen to begin with. That's what set Eddie off, not so much explicitly that there might be, you know, diversity, that there was never diversity and there was never going to be diversity. But, you know, Pete, you know, bringing back vivid memories, it was, Eddie doesn't have his headset on right now. I'll tell you what Scoop's talking about. It was 5 years ago tomorrow. It was July 15th, 2007, when we were hosting a show, and Scoop came into the studio and he went to the bathroom and we didn't know who was in there, who was walking down the hall, you know, because we were the only people in the station at that time, and you went and go check it out. And it was the next night we did the bit. That was the next night that you went off on the lady at the Ron Paul meeting. That was in advance of the 2008 Ron Paul presidential campaign. So that was 5 years ago tomorrow. Time does fly. But Pete, by all means, my friend, continue on.
Well, as I sit in Range USA, James, your head turned red as a beet tomato, and Winston and I were passing notes, and Eddie was going off while Jeff Melton was trying to contain the shipwreck from going under. I said to myself, man, I am home. and surprisingly, you and the rest of the staff never met me. I was living overseas at the time. I mean, I could have been a plan from the SPLC or something like that. But you took a chance on me to say, listen, we'll keep this guy on staff. We'll have him do, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and do a couple wacky things. And, you know, lo and behold, I'm still here. So to that, I say, thank you. And it's just you know, from 2007, 2008, I met you in northern Virginia at American Renaissance Conference. We met in a bar. I was hanging out. I met the wonderful Frank Borazzelli and a lot of Cesspool fans. And then fast forward to 2011, we met again at the National Press Conference in downtown Washington, which was excellent. I also got to meet Jared Taylor for the first time.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about that with Richard Spencer. We were revisiting that press conference at the National Press Club, and that was
right,
obviously last September, and you were there
the
again.
Best part of the whole weekend was you, me, Jared, and another gentleman who were in an elevator going down. And there's another gentleman who had nothing to do with the NPA conference, and he had perfect hair. So the conversation after we left the elevator is like, who is that guy? Because Jared and I thought he looked familiar in the D.C. area. We were just talking about how perfect his hair was. And, you know, James, you know, your file would be challenged. And me, I just have a mess on my head. So we, all this intelligence and all this knowledge and experience we're talking about, some poor guy's hair. So.
Well, I mean, you know, but the thing is, and that just goes to illustrate the point, that we are real here and we talk about real things. And, of course, I never have a hair out of place on my head, that's for sure. But, you know, it all started before any of that, Scoob. Even before we first met you in person in 2007, you were delivering weekly correspondence from Rota, Spain. You were our international correspondent before you became our D.C. correspondent. Anyway, I wanted Scoop to talk about that tonight. We're coming to the end of the show now, revisiting just some of the stories from behind the scenes. I mean, it really is a family here. We talk about it all the time, but we can't stress it enough. What Eddie's doing here, I want to support him. I want you to support him. Pete Stanton's recollection of stories from time spent behind the scenes. We really are a family. Our listeners are our brothers and sisters. We love you, and God bless you. And God bless you, Scoop, and we will talk to you next week when the folks turns back to politics, but so glad to have you on the team, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, this is a dream come true, because back when I was a little bit younger and a little bit lighter and had less gray hair, I said, yeah, I'd like to get a talk radio. And sure enough, you know, I emailed you saying, great show when I first heard it, and then I said, hey, can I be your international correspondent?
And I'm okay.
Even though I never met you, and, you know, I don't know who you are, and you could be a plan, you know.
I was like Santa Claus. You came through, you asked, and you received, and you've been a good boy ever since. But anyway, my friend, yeah. We're out of time. God bless you, everybody. I'm James Edwards on behalf of the entire staff and crew. We'll see you next week.